Good morning, everybody. How are we today? That's good. That's good. Are we awake? That's good. That's good. I'm just going to take a little moment before I start. I'm just going to check with the Lord. Lord, do you want to do anything? You know, I'm going to do some talking with your help, Lord. But do you want to do anything? I just get a word that says, if there are any here that have doubt in their heart, I want you to know that is okay. That is normal. We all have doubts. And I hear the Lord saying, while the doubt is there, have hunger. Have hunger for the Lord. You can say, Lord, I've got this doubt about this thing. Well, let's turn that into, Lord, I'm hungry to seek you. Lord, I'm hungry to find those answers. Lord, where I have doubts about this thing happening or doubts in my faith, let's also fill that place with hunger. Say, Lord, let me be hungry for those answers. And just before I start, I'm just feeling out if there's anything else the Lord wants to do. So good to see you all this morning. How are you? It's good to see you. Okay. I might come back to that later. Hey, so my message today is called No Pressure Evangelism. And in this message, I want to examine what do we think about evangelism. And I want to look at it again with new and fresh eyes. It's a new year. Let's look at evangelism with new eyes, amen? I want to outline one or two key thoughts around evangelism that are helpful for everyone. And I mean everyone. Whether you're an evangelism superstar like Oscar or Pastor Matt or Pastor Chris, or a little more reserved. Lastly, I want this message this morning to take away pressure that we often associate with personal evangelism. By the end of my message, it is my hope and my prayer that when you hear the word evangelism, you can better understand your part to play, your reach, your personal style, and that you'll know exactly what I mean when I say, no pressure, evangelism. It is my hope and prayer that you will feel confident today going into the world to make disciples according to how God has formed you, and as part of his great story and of his holy mission. How does that sound so far? Good. No pressure evangelism. Let me pray. Lord, today help me to encourage your precious body. Lord, help us to rise up inside of ourselves, to take our part of your great calling, and to practice no pressure evangelism in a field that you promise is ripe with harvest. Amen. The main Bible verses we will read this morning are in Matthew chapter 9, 37 and 38, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 5 to 9. Now, when you picture, if I say evangelism, and you picture that word evangelism, what sorts of things come to your mind? I've just got a few pictures here to share with you, and I think maybe this is what you see when you think about the word evangelism. Certainly, these were some of the pictures that came to my mind. Could we just get to the first picture up there? Hey, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I really like that picture. I really like that picture. It's like a street preacher. I love how clear it is. And he's got his tract there. He's happy. He's got that smile on his dial. Actually, I couldn't help but read the article that was attached to that picture. He was apparently a very mild-mannered man. And the photojournalists that wanted to take the photo of him, they said, I want to take a photo of you. And he said, that is fine, as long as you will take my tract and read it. He was very mild-mannered. He wasn't shouting. He was just standing there with his message. What about the next picture? Does this come to your mind when you think of evangelism? Comes to my mind, man. What about the next picture? I think many of us would know what this is. This is a form of altar call. It's ministry time. It's come forward and make a commitment to Jesus. What about the next picture, if we take it to that one? Evangelism. Yeah. Go, Oscar. Woo. Go, Oscar. This has got to be a picture in the minds of every person of New Hope when we think about the word evangelism. It's great. And what about the next picture? Hey, does everybody know who that face is? Whose face that face is? The Reverend Billy Graham. Okay, and then to the next picture, which is again Billy Graham. And I stole this excerpt right here from Wikipedia, the source of much truth. The famous Melbourne Cricket Ground, MCG, Melbourne Cricket Ground, has hosted many major sporting events in its time, obviously. It has also been the location for music concerts, cultural events, and more. With record attendance recorded back in 1959 and still stands today, this record has never yet been surpassed. A total of 143,750 people attending a Billy Graham evangelistic crusade. Praise God. MCG, that record still stands today. Oh, bless you. Thank you. That's pretty cool. Hey, that's pretty cool. 60 plus years ago, a stadium gospel rally or a gospel crusade was a very effective means of sharing faith, and praise God for that. But I wonder if we could gather up anything like those numbers for a gospel crusade today. I mean, health and safety might have a problem with that, especially in this strange time we're living in. Our world and our society at large has changed since then. But years ago, believers and non-believers alike went in their hundreds and their thousands to hear a person who they knew was a Christian speaker, who called them to repentance after sharing the gospel, called them to make a commitment, called them to be saved, and many of them, in their hundreds and thousands, responded and were saved. Hallelujah. But what if I said that today, a valid and effective form of evangelism is not just through the things like gospel rallies. It's not only through big church events. It's not only through street evangelism. It's not only with supremely confident people like Oscar. We love you, Oscar. Keep doing what you're doing. But that an effective, valid form of evangelism today for you and for me was through real, authentic relationships. Relationship evangelism. Relationship is a great foundation from where evangelism and discipleship too, for that matter, can occur. And if evangelism can happen in real, authentic relationships, then you won't need a stadium. You don't need a fancy church building or even a soapbox or a platform or the world's best preacher to do it for you. Anybody can do the work of an evangelist if you have a heart that loves and cares and prays. If you've got a willingness to be used by God and a genuine connection with people around your life, then you can be involved in God's great mission and in His calling for you on the earth today. You don't need to be an evangelist superstar. You don't even need to be a Billy Graham or a Matt Prater or a Chris Bowman. You know something encouraging is when I look at Matthew chapter 9, I find that Jesus is not looking for superstars. The thing that Jesus is asking for, when he looks out over the multitude, weary and scattered, like sheep without a shepherd. No, it's not superstars, it's laborers. He says in verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I wonder if we sometimes miss out on God's mission for our lives, all because we think or we know that we're maybe not superstars, and therefore we can't really be evangelists, right? I'm here to tell you today that in the year of 2022, you are the answer to Jesus' prayer. You don't need to be a superstar. Jesus only needs laborers. And it's not dependent on your abilities, on great charisma. It's not dependent on how polished our church services are, New Hope. Your effectivity as a laborer is dependent on your willingness just to be involved in the lives of those around you. It's relationship evangelism. We don't need superstars. I'm no Billy Graham, obviously. I probably can't stand on a street corner preaching at people. But here's where the pressure leaves. God is probably not asking you to stand on a street corner on Queen Street Mall preaching. But he will ask you to look up from your phone screen at the lunchroom in work. He's probably not asking you to launch an international missionary organization in his name. But I believe he'll prompt you to pick up your kid's friend for soccer training in order to serve the boy's parents and maybe soften their hearts. He's not looking for superstars, New Hope. He's looking for laborers to send out into his field. A field, remember, that he promises is ripe with harvest. It may not sound fancy. It may not lead to 146 decisions last Friday night. But it can be found in the normal routines of your everyday life. It can be found Monday to Saturday. I think we all know that missions can be going across the oceans to reach the lost. But it can also be walking across the room at a family function or a work meeting and taking an interest in the person sitting right in front of you. Missions can be walking across the street and finding common interest with your neighbor. You don't even have to start with an invite to our church event. You don't even have to start with a prayer for healing. Just start with a common interest. Hey, how do you get your lawn so nice? Hey, did you hear about that boxing match last week? I heard he took a dive. What do you think? I wish more people would talk to me about boxing. But how easy is that? A common interest. There's no pressure. It's just relationship. So after all I've said this morning so far, if I question your evangelism skills today, my question is not, what is your preaching ability? Or how good are you at doing an altar call? No, my question is, what are you like as a friend? What are you like as a sister, a brother, a niece, an auntie, an uncle, a grandchild? What are you like as a coworker? What are you like as a neighbor? Most people don't even know their neighbors these days. They did 60 years ago. I think we wonder why there's such a disconnect in our communities and even in our churches. Could it be that it's because we've got a disconnect in the value and time that we put into nurturing authentic relationships? And yet authentic relationships are the foundation of good evangelism and ongoing discipleship. We need relationships, not more programs, but more connections. Not superstars, but laborers. It's good old hospitality and friendship, and we need more of it. Have you ever heard someone say from the pulpit before, people out there are looking for Jesus, and you think, yeah, right, I've been out there, they're not, right? Have you seen my workplace recently or my school, you know what I mean? I've thought that. What if I say instead, people out there are looking for authentic love, practical help, and genuine friendship? I think we all know that's true. Maybe people don't realize they're looking for Jesus until they spend some time with him through you. But maybe when we thought about evangelism, we thought that we had to invite people to church services. Don't invite them to a church service. Invite them into your life. Invite them to dinner. And maybe if Jesus is alive and is active in your life, then those people out there who get into your life will see him. And maybe after that time spent with you, it could be them asking you if they can come along to your church. It's relationship evangelism. We can do that. We can do that. And if we can do that, then we're reaching the world. You're doing the work of an evangelist. You are a laborer in the field. You are the answer to Jesus' prayer. Our Father in heaven has designed this whole thing so well. It can't be done by one person only. It can't be done through an event. It can't be done through a course. But it will work if only everyone puts their hand to the plow and engages with those around them in whatever way they can. You don't have to be a superstar, but can you be involved in people's lives in a normal, organic way? Can you take an interest in somebody at work? Can you serve someone in a really easy and practical way? Just like when Chris said, if someone's sick, phone them. Let them know that you're thinking of them, that you're praying for them. If they need a meal, we can organize a meal. Can you serve someone? Can you be a friend? Can you be a laborer? That's what he's asking. Because there's really no pressure in that. So I think I've laid a bit of a foundation this morning. I've said that you can be a laborer in the field that is ripe with harvest, not by being a superstar, but through real, authentic relationships in your life. Now I want to share something more, just to help you further today. And like the first point, I hope and I pray that it will remove any pressure that we feel around evangelism. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I believe I'm in 6 and 7. Paul writes, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but it is God who gives the increase. You know, long before we get involved in somebody's life, long before you make that connection, God has a hand on that life. God has a plan to reach that person in all sorts of ways and through all sorts of people, including you. And so imagine when you cross the path of anybody, let's say a non-believer. Imagine if you ask the Holy Spirit this. Holy Spirit, where are you up to in this person's life? Well, let me say it this way. How far away or how close are they to you, my Lord? I want you to picture like a sliding scale where, let's say, negative 10 is like really hard-hearted and bitter and I'm against the Lord. I'm a negative 10. And then negative 5 is like I definitely don't believe, but I'm not as far away as this one. And like a negative 2 is like, I'm getting pretty close to getting saved. And then we cross the line and then you're in the positive, you know, you're in the positives. Imagine if you picture a little sliding scale like that. You want to know something that's true, is that you won't see everybody cross the line. That's totally okay. But you can cooperate with where the Holy Spirit is up to in their lives. And there's something about this revelation that really takes the pressure away. I mean, I thought it was all hinging on me saying the right things. I thought it was dependent on me inviting people to the right church event. I thought we were supposed to see people saved, right? Wrong. Let's just remember this. According to 1 Corinthians, the great Apostle Paul only planted. The great Apollos only watered. Maybe someone else saw them cross the line or get baptized or whatever. But this is actually really encouraging. Why? Because you don't have to get everybody saved. Evangelism and discipleship is just partnering with where God is up to in people's lives. That's it. It may not seem as spectacular, but that's really what it's all about. And you know something that's so cool is that our Father God is always working on people. But unless you make relationship with them, you'll be hard-pressed to see what's really going on in their hearts. Sometimes you do get lucky. Have you ever come across somebody who just seems so close to getting saved? A few times I have. It's a true story. Many years ago, I was working at Sizzlers at Carindale. It's now shut down. So goodbye to the cheesy toast. Next to that Sizzlers, there was a Hungry Jack's. It's now shut down. I love Hungry Jack's. I'm loyal to Hungry Jack's. And I walked into that Hungry Jack's and I ordered me a soft serve cone. And they are good. And the young lady made the soft serve cone. And she turned around, she goes, here you go. And I gave her, at that time, like it was like 50 cents. It's now like 75 cents. Highway robbery. And she gave me the ice cream. I was very excited. And I said, wow, look at all this ice cream. This is the tallest soft serve cone that I've ever seen, that I've ever gotten at Hungry Jack's. And I was very excited about the ice cream, very thankful. And she went, like, she said something like, wow, you're very excited about this ice cream. And just from her making this really good ice cream for me, we just struck up this little conversation and something about my excitement for the sugar, you know, connected with her. But this is no word of a lie. From there, somehow, she was coming along to our home group. I didn't know her from a bar of soap before this. She was coming along to our church after that time. She very quickly made a decision to follow Jesus and still follows the Lord to this day. And I did nothing. It was so easy. She was so close to getting saved. I just walked in and got an ice cream. I was excited about the sugar. And it was just like, yes, Jesus. Sometimes you do get lucky. You come across those ones that are really close to get saved. Another time, I was interested to chat to a very, very handsome, good-looking fella with a bonza mustache. I don't know if you know who I could be talking about. I'd come along with Pastor Chris somewhere, and there was this cool-looking dude with this awesome mustache. And just to sit there and chat with him and to talk about work and to find out a bit about his life that night. And I didn't do anything, but you know, when you're just there in their lives and you make relationship and they're just so close to getting saved and you see them cross the line and you see them step forward into the things that God has for them, and yes, Jesus. With some people, God has done all of this amazing pre-work and you just happen to stumble across their path at the right time to witness them cross the line. But you know something? More often, I just get to plant some seeds of faith. More often than that, I just get to water some existing seeds. And that's mostly all I get to see. But there's really no pressure. You won't lead every unbelieving person to the Lord. Not every non-believer that you meet is even ready to cross the line today, obviously. And that's okay. But can you cooperate with where the Holy Spirit is up to in their lives? If the Holy Spirit helps you to see that someone's maybe a negative eight, if God needs you to water them a little bit and plant some seeds in their life and maybe see them go down to a negative six, then, my friend, you have done the work of an evangelist. You have partnered with God's work in their life. You've actually been a great success. You've labored faithfully in the field. Not even Jesus saw everybody cross the line. Remember when, in Luke chapter 18, he meets the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler is face to face with the Son of God, and he still wasn't ready to follow. How then can anyone be saved, in that very chapter, a disciple asks. Yet in the very next chapter, we meet another rich young man by the name of Zacchaeus, and all Jesus does is invite Zacchaeus to dinner, and Zacchaeus gets saved. One guy in his heart wasn't ready, and the other guy was ready. One was challenged by Jesus, and he walked away. The other was invited to dinner, and he was so touched that he celebrated, he repented, and he crossed the line with great joy. Even Jesus himself didn't see everybody get saved. I wonder if he ever felt any pressure around that. I wonder. So where is God up to with the people around your life? Do you have any unsaved family members? Where is God up to with them? Maybe you are feeling some pressure because you so want to see them saved. You want to see them cross the line from death into life. But you know something? God will use you to bring them from a negative five, maybe to a negative three. Maybe for someone else, God will use you to take them from a negative one over the line to a positive two, you know, get saved. But let's take no credit for those ones, okay? Because remember, it is neither he who plants nor he who waters who is anything, but it is God who gives the increase. There's no superstars around here, hey? We're all just laborers, hallelujah. Now, my last thought to remove the pressure from evangelism is this, and it follows right on from the previous point. It's even found in the same scripture. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Can I say this another way? We don't actually do the saving. God does. We cannot physically do what only God can do in somebody's heart. Again, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus reminds us that what is impossible with man is only possible with God. You cannot make it happen for someone, but you can pray. You cannot convince people, obviously, but you can keep a friendship going. You don't do the saving, but as I begin to bring my message to a close today, I want to ask you, where in your life, what places in your life do you get to hang out with non-believing people? Is there anybody around your life that might be close to crossing the line? Or what if you went through your phone contact list? Are there any people in that list that maybe God would prompt you that you need to reconnect with? Just to say hi, just to drop them a line before the year really gets going again. Who are the people in your life looking for authentic friendship and community? Who are the Christian believers that you know of who are out of community right now? And maybe you can reach out to them again. Well, what about this question? Do you have any time or any space left in your life today for real, authentic relationships? Because it will take time. It will take time. Remember, you don't do the saving. Our Father in heaven, though, would call you to be there around the ones who are ripe at this time and to help water the ones that aren't. So can you be there? I'll just invite the worship team back up now. I'm just going to bring this to a close. You don't have to be a superstar. Just be available. You don't have to see every unbelieving person cross the line and get saved. And of course, as I said, you don't actually do the saving. God does. That is no pressure evangelism in a nutshell. And I believe it is what God has for you and for me in our lives and in the world today. Your calling to be evangelism is simply to be real, to be authentic, to be interested, to be helpful, to be curious, to ask God for insight, to be available and to cooperate with where God's up to in someone's life. Remember, you don't have to necessarily invite them to church, but rather invite them into your life because Jesus lives there. And I'm confident that more people will see him if they just got the chance to spend more time with you in the everyday, shopping, fishing, landscaping a garden, moving houses with you. Actually, I think we've got a slide for that too, don't we? This is a good one. Do we have that picture of the trolley? Oh, that's a good one. Oh, and the next one with the trolley, I like that one. Moving houses with you. We all need friends. Playing cards. Seeing how you raise your kids. Working together. Being together. Being friends. When they're well. When they're not doing so well. When you're well. When you're not doing so well. Because evangelism happens right there in everyday real relationships. And you can do that. And you can let God do his part, which only he can do. And there's no pressure in that. That is no pressure evangelism. And I believe it is the most effective form of evangelism that we can all do today. Let me pray. Father God, we love you. And we just want to share your good news with our family, friends, and our communities. Remove the pressure that we might feel around sharing our faith. Lord, sharing our faith is simply sharing ourselves. Just like what Leo did so beautifully this morning. He was sharing about communion and tithes, but I felt like we got to actually get to know Leo a little bit better when he was sharing from himself. Lord, help us just to be real. Help us to be authentic. Help us to just share you, Jesus, in the most natural and organic and no pressure kind of way. I pray, Lord, that you would bring people across our path and that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to know where they are up to with you, Jesus. Father God, help us today to put our hand to the plow, to be laborers in the field, and to help people to draw closer to you. I also pray, Lord, for any people here who do not know you and who need to cross the line today themselves. Amen. And just as I finish there, I'm not going to finish the service without a chance just to share for people who maybe don't know Jesus and for people who don't believe. I want to say it like this. You, me, and everybody is far from perfect. We know that. I know that. We're far from perfect. Every day. Oh, every day. and the world is far from perfect. But even though our God is perfect and has holy standards that we fall short of, He knows this. He's so good that He sent Jesus, like Himself. He Himself came down and He had a taste of that medicine that He walked on the earth just like we do. He felt, you know, everything that you've been through, He can say that He knows what it feels like. He made you. And He wants to be in relationship with you. But sin separates you from relationship with Jesus, just like it did me. It still threatens too. But the way is Jesus. The truth is Jesus. Jesus lived on this earth a perfect life. He became a sacrifice and hung on a cross and took on the punishment that we deserve. God laid that on Himself. And He makes a way through Jesus for you to know Him. He makes a way through Jesus for you to come back to Him with all eyes closed for a moment and with all heads bowed. Many of us in this place know Jesus. Many of us in this place have made that decision and said, you know what? I'm going to leave behind my old life. I'm not going to be the boss of my own life. I'm going to live for You, Jesus. I belong to You. I'm Your property. Many of us have made that decision. But if there's anybody here and you've not made that commitment to Jesus, then I've got some news for you. You're not saved. You're out of sync with what He's created you to be. You're in sin. And that's not headed for a good place. A very, very bad place. Any place without Jesus is a very, very bad place, especially if it's eternal. And so I want to say to you today, if you need to reach out to Jesus in faith and say, God, I want to know You. I want to become Your property. I want to become a son or a daughter in the kingdom. I want to make a stand of faith with all eyes closed, all heads bowed. I'm asking you, will you accept Jesus today? Will you lay down the ownership of your own life and say, Jesus, You can be the owner. You can be the boss of my life. Is there anybody out in the audience in that place that needs to reach out to Jesus today, that needs to lay down their sin and lay down their life? Anybody out there today, would you raise your hand if that's you? Thank you, I do see that hand. The place that you're in is not unique. It's the place that I was in. Thank you, I see that hand. I was a sinner. I promise I couldn't save myself, but Jesus can save. He can save you, and you can become His, and you can walk with Him, and you can have relationship with Him. I'm just going to look around this auditorium one last time, just one last time. Is there anybody that needs to say, yes, Jesus, I'm putting my hand up because I want to become Yours. I want to follow You. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I see that hand. Very, very good. Well, look, you can open your eyes now. You can look up and we're coming to the end of the service. For those precious people who've raised their hand today, I want to say this. God loves you. He loves you. It's no mistake that you're here today. You're His daughter. You're His son, and He loves you. I want to say that there's some space for you and there's some time for you after the service that myself and probably Pastor Chris Bowman want to meet you. We want to pray with you and celebrate with you and hopefully put a new testament into your hands. I want to say, anybody else today, this altar is open. While Chris and I will probably spend some time with these precious people who want to make a commitment to Jesus, For anybody else who needs some prayer, I want to just invite the prayer team to come up and pray with them. If it's unsaved family members or people you want to pray for, I think it's a good thing to be praying for on this altar today. Chris, do you have any? Oh, very, very good. Well, I just want to say a big thank you for coming today. I bless you, and that you can go out into the world and save souls, but with no pressure. Amen and amen.
Oh, wow, what a good...